Yesvember at the Star Sydney. With so much happening, how could you say no?
And here we go.
Buckle up.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier.
Rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
This is it. The farewell tour of the Rush Hour.
Last week, baby.
Getting a little bit choked up. Come on, mate. We still got five shows to get through.
Pass a tissue. Jermaine, stop crying.
Pass me a tissue, Tito. Final week of the Rush Hour. All exciting things ahead, so we're going to stay positive because we've got a lot of sport to talk about, MG. Today, especially, all hell's broken loose in Panther Town after the weekend of celebrations and sneaky photos, kick-outs disappearing. It's all happening.
A lot will happen Friday, and so the weekend's been kind of digesting all these stories that have come before us, and one of them obviously was Billy Kickow in that Bulldog shirt, and the other one obviously is the Tim Payne scandal.
Yeah, absolutely, and Clint Gutherson as well. Finally, the Parramatta Eels have come to their senses and agreed to a deal with their skipper. Craig Fitzgibbon's going to join us, the Sharks head coach, on the show for the first time in that new role, and for the first day of the week, MG, we hopefully get to give away a barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
In our Beat the Pom competition.
Oh, the Barmy Matt's pretty smart with his cricket.
Barmy,
you've got to be good.
I hope whoever's on today has been brushing up. But to start it off today.
What's cracking?
I've loved my role as captain of the Australian cricket team. And it's been the greatest privilege of my sporting life to lead the Australian men's test team. I'm grateful for the support of my teammates and proud of what we've been able to achieve together.
Former Australian Test captain Tim Payne fronting the media last Friday, announcing that he is stepping down from the role of Test captaincy in the wake of a sexting scandal from 2017 and those sexts being made public last week. MG, what have you made of this? Have you had the weekend to digest it? We've seen other developments. What have you made of the whole situation?
Well, obviously, at first it was a bombshell. Just didn't see it coming because of the way that Tim Payne basically jumped into the breach when Sandpaper Gate reared its ugly head in South Africa, and we needed a knight in shining armour, and along he came. This is a very delicate story with several parties involved, so we've got to be very careful what we say. None more so than Payne's wife, Bonnie, who was dealing with the loss of a father around the same time. So, yeah, I have had time to digest it, and I think the fact that it is 4 years on and the fact that we're now seeing played out in the media, the former chairman, David Fever, up against the current chairman, Richard Freudstein, both accusing each other of staying, just get the hell out of each other's business, they're saying to each other. But, yeah, look, I think it's untenable. I think that, you know,
you think he had to stand down?
I think so, at least as captain. And I don't think his form with the bat warrants him to be basically in the team. So I think that's the end of his international cricketing.
You don't think he'll
career.
Get picked?
I'd have Matty Wade in there as a batsman and keeper.
I agree with you. He had to stand out, and he said as much that it was a personal decision. There was no pressure from Cricket Australia, although I think they backed up the decision, and Justin Langer wanted him to stay on. I do not see Justin Langer leaving Tim Payne out to dry. If he didn't want him to stand down as captain, I can't see Justin Langer not picking him for at least the first Ashes test and giving him the chance to hold his spot on merit without the captaincy next to his name.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think you're right. I think when you bring Justin Langer into it, and I think that if they didn't pick him, it would say more about, you know, the incident 4 years ago, which is, it is 4 years ago. And for reasons unbeknownst to us, it's reared its ugly head now, and he's got to deal with that, and his family got to deal with that. But more so, Cricket Australia have got to deal with it as well, and they've got to make a big decision on whether he keeps his position, as you say, he probably will under Justin Langer, and I agree. Or do they bring someone like a young Inglis? Is it Inglis?
Yeah, Josh people? Inglis is the one that Shane Warne wants to see given a crack. Alex Carey seems to be the forgotten man amongst all of this, the South Australian. There are options at the spot. I think, as I said, I can't see Justin Langer with everything that he preaches about the men in his team and the way he treats them and the level of care and all that sort of stuff.
Well, doesn't he say that he wants to have every player in his cricket team who would date one of his daughters, his four daughters?
Well, okay, maybe that does rule Tim Payne out. Just quickly on that, though, I think the Cricket Australia needs to bear a lot of responsibility for the handling of this, I think.
Of course they do.
Tim Payne was thrust into the role in the wake of Sandpaper Gate in early March. he's made captain, and then this these complaints are lodged by this woman after he's been made captain.
Yeah,
and
that's what I was...
they've probably gone, well, we can't sack a captain because of a ball tampering saga, and then sack the bloke we replaced him with because of a ball photo taking saga. You know,
yeah, exactly, and that's why I mentioned the several parties involved, because obviously there's a victim in this on the other end of the scale, and stuff came through this morning that apparently Tim Payne's brother-in-law has also been involved.
Murky.
So it's getting murky, it'll sort itself.
Turn our attention back to the cricket, though. Who's the captain for yours? Who do they go to? What are we, 16 days out from the first test at the Gabba?
Paddy Cummins. It's a no-brainer for mine. Smitty's had his chance, and I think he's quite capable in his own skin now to be one of them guys who could be a helping hand to Paddy Cummins. I don't think since the 50s and 60s have we seen a fast bowler as a captain of Australia, and probably Richie Benaud as a spinner was the last one back in the 60s, but I think Pat Cummins is the man. I think who else would be?
We spoke to Pat last week on the show. Here's what he had to say about the possibility of captaining the side.
You know, being vice captain for the last, I think, 2 or 3 years, of course, you've got to think about it a little bit and how you'd manage it if I had to do even just a one-off test. And I think you'd be able to find a way, even as a fast bowler. I think it would have some challenges, but also some opportunities, you know, as a fast bowler that we might see the game a little bit differently to this perhaps batters. But I've said a lot that we've got plenty of experienced guys in our team. It'd be a pretty easy side to manage.
And even if you're not a cricket expert, through process of elimination, though, MG, it has to be Pat, because if it's going to be, if they say, well, it can be anybody, Pat's the bowler who has the most leadership experience. Yeah. So it's got to be him if the bowlers are eligible. But if they're not eligible, you can't pick Warner and Smith, because I just don't think the public would swallow it at the moment with everything
not
that's going
moment.
On.
No.
Right.
No.
Marcus Harris just wants to hold down a spot. Whoever bats at five is just happy to be there. Cam Green's 22. And that leaves you with Marnus Labuschagne. And if you were to appoint Marnus just because he is a lock in the batting lineup, what does that say to Pat Cummins, a man who's given everything done all the right things over the years and is, you know, leading New South Wales at state level as well?
Yeah, I agree. I've said for a long time I thought Pat Cummins is captain material for the way he carries himself both on and off the field, and I think he'd be a fantastic ambassador for the Australian cricket team.
Well, we'll wait to see, because the Ashes squad has been named, and as the as Richard Freudenstein said, they need to fast-track this process, because that first Ashes test is not far away.
What's cracking?
Oh, yeah, the rugby league world is finally cracking, MG.
Yeah, finally.
Finally, the whips are cracking in the NRL's free agency frenzy. Let's talk about Billy. Viliami kick out last Friday. This grainy photo emerges, been taken off a security camera somewhere within the bowels of Belmore, with Gus on one side, Trent Barrett on the other, and in the middle, the peroxided mohawk of Viliami kick out in a Bulldogs polo shirt.
Yeah, well, I was on the boat. We were on the 91 reunion boat having a cruise, and there was some dignitaries on that boat who were very surprised by seeing that photo. So
really?
Yeah, they didn't know it was happening. They didn't see it coming. Obviously, you're allowed to go and see the club that you might be going to, but I think what should have happened was he should have just pulled a little bit short of putting the shirt on and just said, you know what, I'm not here for 17 months, then I'll put the shirt on. And because it's fraught with danger. And saying that, but it's not the crime of the century. I mean, there's so many people and so many players changing clubs so far out from when they actually are playing for them that it's where we've almost become used to it, haven't we?
The details, for those not aware, a reported 4-year deal worth $3.2 million.
He gets his $800,000, Billy.
It would have been hard to say no to. Joining from 2023 onwards. So he's still got a season to go with the Panthers. But as you say, I read an article in the Sydney Morning Herald which said that Luke Thompson, the Bulldogs' high-profile recruit from last season, they went over, did the deal, and he declined to put the polo on and have the shot. He said, I'll wait till it's official. Now,
or at least until he's come to the shores and played. I mean, it was a long way out.
But what do the Bulldogs get from that photo? Because
a little bit of disruption to Penrith on Friday.
Do you think that was intentional? Does the cynic in you think that was...
You've got to think that doesn't happen on Gus's watch, if he doesn't want it to. Like, really? Don't you think?
I hadn't thought that the leak might have been intentional.
Like, no. Come on. They had their grand final parade on Saturday. We had our grand final cruise on Friday. Let's get a little bit of publicity off our old club. And the three of them standing there all, have all been associated with Penrith. Gus, Kikau and Barrett. So, yeah, I just think it was a bit of an elbow to the ribs and it wasn't anything too dramatic. I think even his own players on the bus were giving it to Billy Corning, who let the dogs out.
Yeah, and Jerome got stuck in.
Yeah, that's
what a few lighthearted boos and when he walked out onto Panther Park.
Things have changed so much, Liam, that when they sign contracts so far out, which a lot of players do, I think my biggest concern is for the fans of Penrith, because when Billy did come out on the field apparently last Saturday, there was a few groans and boos, but the majority of the Panther fans are glad he's playing for Penrith in 2022, I would say.
And the other side of this is, if you're a Doggies supporter, how exciting. How exciting to have a second row of this quality adding on to what you're already getting next season with Matt Burton turning up and the Fox turning up, and you're really starting to add some A-grade quality.
Pangai Junior's
there. There's some serious talent on its way to Belmore over the next 24 months. So it's exciting stuff if you're a Doggies fan. The other story, MG, which has finally been sorted, is Clint Gutherson signing a three-year deal to stay with the Parramatta Eels, 2.3. It looks like they met halfway. The club originally offered 2. He wanted 4. They met in the middle with 3.
Well, there you go, common sense. And it wouldn't be a Gutho contract without a bit of controversy. The last one, if you remember, played out very similarly. But what the good thing about this is, it means that at the end of this contract, Gutho will be a 10-year player at Parramatta. And that's massive in today's game. That is massive. And like we've spoken about him on the show, you know, and I've said I wouldn't give him 4 years. I would have given him 2 or 3. Four's a little bit too long, I think. For that type of money, when you're talking about a guy who's going to be 30 odd, you know, early 30s when he finishes his career, his contract. But I'm glad they come to a resolve, because now they can get on with signing the other players who are off contract, and the likes of Reid Marnie and Junior Paulo and Ryan Madison, and there's Tom Opacek, Hayes Dunster, Kafusi. They've got about 20 players who haven't been signed for 2022. So something's got to happen with Parramatta in the next couple of weeks, doesn't it?
Here's a prediction that I'm never going to be able to be held accountable for, because it's going to be that far out. At the end of this three-year deal, the Eels will regret not having made it a four-year deal. I think Gutho is the type of athlete, the type of professional, that he will be more than capable of continuing on by the end of this contract. And I think another club will probably come in and get him out of there.
I think he'll be playing 5'8 by then.
But for the Eels. That's what I'm saying.
I think his transition will happen in the next couple of years. I think that one of those young guys will come in and go to fullback, and I think Gutho will make his way into the halves, and I think that's where he'll be, like a Jack Whiten type player.
Okay. All right. And quickly, we should mention as well, Brandon Smith reported to be touring the Roosters facilities today.
Well, he's having dinner with Robbo this week. Oh. So this is kind of the last.
You know what dinner with Robbo means, don't you?
Well, yeah.
It means dinner with Robbo and Uncle Nick.
Well, Nick will be there, and it means that this is their last-ditch effort to steal him away from the Dolphins, because, by all accounts, the Dolphins have him signed
race up. Race in two.
If it comes down to the Roosters and the Dolphins, let's see. I think he's due back in Melbourne next week for training, so he wants it sorted this week, and we'll find out probably early to late this week whether he's going to do it.
This might be the true changing of the guard moment as far as influence goes in the game. Who has more influence over the ability to sign a player, Wayne Bennett or Nick Politis? The Brandon Smith case study. This is what it's going to be.
Yeah, well, you know what? They're both. You can't lose. You can't lose when you're Brandon Smith. Either way, you're going to be looked after by one of the best coaches that's ever played, who's going to make sure he's got a great system around him. And then you've got the best administrator that's probably close to even being a part of our game in Nick Politis. So you can't lose if you're Brandon Smith.
Clash of the Titans. Can't wait to see how it...
Two tribes go to war.
Shop the latest barbecue range now at Harvey Norman. But right now it's Triple M's Beat the Pom, innit?
Innit?
Triple M's Beat the Pom.
Yes, this is it. Triple M's Beat the Pom. We've got barbecues to give away courtesy of our mates at Harvey Norman. You can shop the latest barbecue range right now at Harvey Norman. All you got to be, MG, is better at cricket trivia.
Yes.
Than our mate, Barmy Matt, who joins us on the line. G'day, Matt.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, you're feeling lucky. Well, are you, punk?
You don't need luck when you know what I know, MG.
Oh, very good.
I love it, Matty. I love it, brother.
Now, we've got a four Massport 4 burner barbecue on offer today. And because it's the last week of the show, MG, we've cleared out the accounts, and we're going to be throwing in $100 cash for people to go and stock
buy
up on meat.
Oh, buy their first little batch of meat. Beautiful.
Yes, exactly. Now, we welcome in today's contestant, which is John from Sutherland. G'day, John.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Fantastic, Johnny.
Now, the way this is going to work, John, because Barmy Matt is such an expert in cricket trivia, you will get the question first. If you are correct, you will walk away with the barbecue and the $100 cash to spend on some meat. If you are incorrect, Barmy Matt gets the opportunity to answer the question. And if he gets it right, you still walk away with a $100 Harvey Norman voucher. So you won't walk away empty-handed.
Oh.
Sounds good.
All right. MG, over to you, Quizmaster.
Okay. Johnny, good luck.
Thank you.
Before Tim Payne was skipper of the Australian cricket team, name the last three long-term captains of the Australian cricket team.
Well, obviously, Steve Smith was before Payne.
One.
I'm pretty sure that would have been Michael Clarke before Smith.
Correct. This is for the barbecue.
Well, he took over from Ricky Ponting, didn't he?
Yeah,
Johnny.
Congratulations, Johnny. You've got yourself a Massport 4-burner barbecue thanks to Harvey Norman.
That's awesome.
And $100 cash you've got to spend on some meat.
Let's ask Barmy Matt if he would have known them questions.
Barmy Matt?
I will say I'm impressed, John. I'm impressed. That was good answering, man. I would have got those. I think I would have got.
All right. Well, just as a test to Barmy Matt, can you name, there was one bloke who captained a test in between some of those men. Can you remember who that was?
Oh, for you guys?
Yeah.
That was one off. Wasn't Watto, was it?
Oh, he's good. He's very good. It was Shane Watson.
You don't want to give him a chance, listeners. Impressive. You do not want to give this bloke a chance.
Oh, I tell you what, I look out tomorrow's contestant. Barmy Matt, we will speak to you again tomorrow. Hopefully you get a chance to show off the knowledge.
Yeah, you guys have got enough barbecues. I'll be talking to you then. Don't you worry.
Outstanding. Congratulations, John. Enjoy the summer with the brand new barbecue, mate.
Awesome. Thank you.
Outstanding.
Good on you, Johnny.
Well, MG, in the final week of the show, it feels only fitting that we welcome in a guest for the very first time as the head coach of the Cronulla Sharks. We've spoken to him before as an assistant for New South Wales and the Roosters, but now we welcome him in, the head coach of the Cronulla Sharks, Craig Fitzgibbon. G'day, Fitzy.
G'day, fellas. How are you?
Yeah, fantastic, mate. Thanks so much for your time. Now that you've got your feet under the desk as the main man, how's it feel?
It's good, thanks, MG. It's still very very new in a lot of ways. Like, we're still piecing training together. We've had some players that have been back after 8 weeks off, and then the late returners after 10 weeks. So we're still running a couple of separate programs at the moment, but it's still good to be it's enjoyable to be finally on the field, mate, enjoying that part of the job, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's the best part. Now, and look, I know a lot of players, you know, me included, I don't know about yourself, but one of the reasons we give rugby league away at the end of our long careers is because of the pre-season training. Has it changed that much, Fitzy, from when we were, you know, especially when I played back in the 80s and then you later, has it changed that much, that dramatically, pre-season training for the players?
Well, I would say it's a lot more organised, MG, a lot more systemised, and you would have to say that the level of care for the players has increased with professionalism over the years. Obviously, the resources that have come into the game and being able to spend some money around club-wide to make sure the players are cared for and nurtured, and they're finely tuned machines, you know. But the one thing that hasn't changed, you have to take them to dark places throughout that preseason. It's an unfortunate side effect of the game, but you got to go slow with them. You know, we definitely build our way into it, get them prepared for that so we don't break them.
Well, speaking of dark places, has the team ventured to Kurnell Sand Dunes yet?
No, not as yet. Still in its infancy. We're just piecing together the basics at the moment. Terminology, obviously, a couple of changes that we need to get ready for. So we're building into it nicely. They've got to say, really pleasantly surprised with the attitude and the effort of the players so far. But again, it's really early. It's only week two for us.
MJ, I reckon you would have battled on the soft sand.
Look, the mountain men would venture off and down to wander to the sand dunes, and It wasn't one of my favourite training sessions, put it that way. The swim after it and going to the pub for lunch, yeah, that was.
Sure, right. Yeah. Hey, look, we've seen you've commented that you're eyeing off a role in the halves for Nico Hines, one of your recruits. What about Dale Finucane? Where do you see him being a part of your best 17 next year?
Oh, look, the thing with Dale is you're basically very happy to recruit Dale as someone who's a leader and someone who makes the players inside and outside him better. So in the middle of the field, of course. So whether he starts in the whatever number he wears, he'll be on the field for majority of the game in the middle. So we'll have to move some parts around that to fit everyone in, of course. And again, Dale's still another week away because he's Melbourne obviously had an extended run into the final. So, but yeah, really excited for Dale to get in and definitely. Yeah, so is everyone else, actually. He's really, I was been taken aback at actually his popularity amongst rugby league fans and people who admire the game. Everyone seems to love Dale Finucane, so I'm really excited to be able to work with him.
Well, he comes with a really good reputation, Fitzy. He comes with that reputation of obviously, you know, going from the Bulldogs down to the Melbourne Storm and chancing his arm, and then Melbourne Storm turning him into a player, a leader of men. And now, an astute signing for the Sharkies, and he brings with him that kind of aura that. And I look into a lesser degree, I think Ikavalu's signature on at the Sharkies is one of them. Another astute signing, because what you're doing, you're bringing guys into the fold who have come from fantastic clubs with culture.
Yeah, that's right, MG. You want obviously some good people to come in, and I think with Dale, like sometimes it's possible to watch games and not notice a player like Dale, but the work off the ball, the teamwork sort of actions that he comes up with during a game, it's just the sort of player that everyone wants to play alongside. And fortunately, to work with him throughout the Origin period, just the way he prepares, and it's like everyone's on notice because of the level of intensity of him that everyone has to rise to his standards, not the other way around. So and same with Ikavalu, you know, he's been around for a couple of years now and, really just a top quality person and a good pro, and I'm really excited that he's come to the Sharks.
Well, Finucane does come with that reputation, as we spoke to a couple of his ex-teammates and current teammates throughout Origin and through the Melbourne Storm, and every time there's a wrestling session penciled in for the training run, everyone gets about 3 or 4 metres away from him, so they don't have to take him on one-on-one.
Yeah, his brakes don't work, mate. That's for sure.
I like that.
I love it.
Hey, now, I've got to ask, MG and I have talked about this on the show previously. If there's one bloke's career in recent memory that we would love to have seen injury-free, it is Matt Moylan. How is he travelling? He signed a 12-month extension with the Sharks during this year, so he'll be there next year. How's his body looking? How is he travelling as well?
No, he's in good nick at the moment. He did some fitness testing the other day, and then for his second session back, he handled himself well, and he's really excited. The thing I'm most happy about is he's backed himself, you know, obviously for a run of four lean years for a player of his quality, but the first half of last year, I think he showed everyone what he's capable of, and then he had an extended period out, but then when he come back in, we're right at the back end, he just had some glimpses of the class that everyone knows he's got. But the catch for the club and myself and Matt is keeping a fit and a healthy Matt, obviously, and we're working with some putting a lot of time and effort into the fact that we can stay on top of that to make sure he's on the field. But he's excited, you know. Just like I said, I'm really happy that he backed himself to stick around for another year, another 12 months.
Yeah, absolutely.
And proved to everyone he is the right signing.
Let's not forget the forgotten man of the NRL, Cam McGinnis, who, you know, obviously has made the transition to the Sharks. He's seen some pictures of him recently with yourself and looking in great nick. What type of role do you see him playing? Do you see him playing lock forward? Do you see him playing hooker? Do you see, you know, young Brayley coming off the bench? It's a great embarrassment of riches if you got.
Yeah, definitely. Now in the middle of the field there, obviously Blake will play majority of the games there, and Cameron can play lock and nine. So you're right there with depth, but Cam, I'll have to. My biggest worry will be keeping Cam away from Dale because his brakes don't work.
The immovable object.
No, it's a good. That's what I'm really looking forward. They're really excited about that, but I'm not. I think a lot's been made of the recruits. Like everybody keeps asking about the recruits. I'm really excited about the players that are already here. Like I watched them play last year, and The level of development, and it was trying circumstances last year. Like, it was an unsettled environment, change of coach, etc. A lot of issues, COVID, going into the bubble, injuries, etc. I just thought they gave themselves a really good account of themselves, and some of the footy was pretty exciting. So I'm just, whilst I'm definitely comfortable with the guys that we've recruited there, but Cam was done before my time. But also just the guys that are here, I'm just really looking forward to working with them. I'm really excited.
Yeah, very nice. Now, there is one issue that we do need to address. Craig, in your new role as the head coach of the Cronulla Sharks, are you aware and are you comfortable with the fact that Paul Gallen still has a key to Shark Park and comes and accesses that place whenever he wants?
Well, he's on the staff, Gal, so he came in, he trained, did some fitness testing the other day, and I was, mate, he's trained that bloody hard. I said to him, you'll be fighting a flyweight in a couple of weeks, mate, if you don't stay down. So
knowing Gal, he'll probably try and take on Timmy Zoo soon.
Oh, what an admirable guy. You know, he just, he walks in, he's just a symbol of dedication and a symbol of hard work. So yeah, when you got a club legend like that hanging around, and he's bloody good in the area, he's going to help us out coaching wise as well. So I'm excited to work with Gal, but just a symbol of a successful time and a symbol of what hard work and dedication can give to someone.
Well, here's hoping that next year we see some more symbols of success running around for the Sharks in 2022. Craig Fitzgibbon, a pleasure to have you on in for the first time in your capacity as the head coach of the Sharkies. Best of luck with the rest of the preseason.
No worries. Thanks, lads.
You're listening to The Rush Hour with MG and Liam on Triple M. All thanks to the Star, because we know, MG, what month is it?
Yes-tember.
Yes-vember. You were close.
Yes-tember.
It's yes-vember. Exactly.
Yes-vember, baby. Yeah. Always say yes to the Star.
That's it. We say yes to quick catch-ups, long lunches, and non-stop entertainment with so much happening at the Star. How could you say no? How could you say no to this game, where we see if MG has been paying attention to everything outside of the world of rugby league from the weekend?
Has MG been paying attention?
Yeah.
Now, I know you were celebrating the frivolities and festivities of the Panthers' premiership win this year and celebrating 30 years since your own premiership.
Yeah.
So I'm not expecting you to go well in this today. I forgive Good you boy. If you haven't been paying attention.
Oh, thank you for that, because I'm glad, because I have somewhat. Yeah, somewhat.
Yeah, paid attention to the races at the Pioneer Tavern on the weekend.
Yes, with the boys.
Yeah.
But I should go right.
All right. I'll play a little bit of audio. You've got to tell me the sport and the story. First up.
To put Australia in front, it's a good strike. It's a great strike.
Oh, is that the Wallabies when they got beat by Wales?
Wales 29, Australia 28.
The correct term is robbed, when Australia was robbed.
Well, they went 0-3. You can't keep blaming referees all the time.
Did you see the knock on?
Yes, I did. That was a bad one. Shocking.
Fair.
Everyone just stopped and they went, what? You could not call him the back? He has no knock back. Yeah, but you make your own.
Even the bloke who scored the try couldn't believe he was being allowed to go and score.
I know that was a howler.
First Australian side to go winless on a European tour since 1976.
Wow. They went so well before they left for our shores.
That leaves, I believe that we did this last week on the show, it leaves us 7-7 for the year. 50-50 for the year for the Wallabies.
That's not bad.
Next one, MG.
Yeah, it's my life goal, life dream, and to be able to do it twice now is awesome.
Shane Van Gisbergen, out of the Red Bull team, along with Jamie Wincup, cleaned up.
Not even wild weather could prevent Shane Van Gisbergen from taking out the championship at Sydney Motorsport Park.
Yes, probably the least interesting man we've spoken on this year.
That's his second. He's got a long way to catch his co-driver there. Wincup has got 7, but you got the feeling that as long as he stays in this type of racing, he's going to win every time. He's just an immaculate driver.
He's an incredible driver, incredible behind the wheel, those V8 supercars. Wasn't without some controversy, though, because the race was called off due to the wet weather that we had around the place yesterday, which didn't please Nick Percat, who had qualified first, was going to be jumping from pole position for the final race at Eastern Creek Motorsport Park, basically went on Twitter and said the wrong call's been made.
That's what wet tyres are for.
We have wet tyres for these conditions. We're professionals. We can drive in this.
Yeah.
So not happy about it. But well done to Shane Van Gisbergen. Second supercar championship. And now...
You think that type of thing that the elements would play a part, and that's what you've got to adapt to. That's part of the skill of driving these beasts. It's all terrain, all type of weather. And I agree with him, with Pertek.
Team Perkat, Nick Perkat. Pertek's one of the teams, but well, Pertek. Nick Perkat's one of the drivers.
I agree with Pertek as
you
well.
You agree with the Team Pertek, right?
Okay. Yes, when they sponsor the Eels.
They do, yeah. I'm just excited now because with the championship done, everyone gets to focus on Bathurst.
Yes.
The season ender. Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. Last one, MG. What's the sport? What's the story?
That is one of the most expensive squads in Wales football. And Watford are pretty awful. I've watched a lot of them this season. And to lose their 4-1 is absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, the final death knell for the Manchester United gaffer.
I want you to say his name.
Ollie.
Yep, I want you to say his full name.
Skolstad.
The clarity is that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has left his role as Manchester United manager.
Ole Solskjaer. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has been... He has parted ways with the club.
Ollie's not going to do much anymore, except count his millions and doing nothing for him.
They'll keep him involved with the club. They love him. He's obviously a former player, one of their all-time great scorers
good,
as well.
Just not a good gaffer.
No, couldn't manage his way out of a paper bag, it would seem. So now they sit and wait. They're talking Zinedine Zidane is a candidate to replace
him. Wow, he'd be interesting.
As the manager. So
what about Eric Cantona? Bring him back.
Well, no, he's an actor now. He's a thespian.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Hoo-cha. Very nice work, MG. Very nice work. Hey, we're going to get out of here tomorrow. Reedy's back, and I feel like now that the gears have been greased, the cogs are turning on the NRL's free agency frenzy. Reedy's going to have plenty for us on the show tomorrow.
I was waiting where you were going with that. Anyway, unlucky to Ole Gunnar. Better luck next time, brother, because he's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay very random.
Yes, Vember, at the Star Sydney. With so much happening, how could you say no?